I don't believe we've ever missed an episode on our recording schedule. We've had guests when one of us wasn't available. Once we've established a schedule for the show, I don't think we've missed an episode release.
Okay, but hold on. Knocking on wood. Go ahead.
I was a little under the weather yesterday. It was touch and go whether or not I was going to be available for recording today.
Glad you made it to this week's episode of Board Game Casual. Because at this point, Mark, the lines are kind of blurred. I don't know if we're the misplay or if we're Board Game Casual at this point.
Go on.
This is their podcast at this point, and we're just advertising for them.
I can see it. By the same token, we do happen to be really big fans of their content.
Sure.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we sit down to game 2 minutes before server maintenance. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. Yeah, that's frustrating. That was me. Sitting down to play New World on the PlayStation. They just came out with a new version, and I'm all set to play. I got my tea ready. I've told my wife, this is my game time. I'm playing. I get 2 minutes into the game. Notifications come up. Server maintenance.
Hurts. Where are we?
I want to say on schedule. I want to say on track. I want to say we're doing the things we keep saying we're going to do. We have had meetings the last few Wednesdays talking about our pitches. We are doing everything. I feel like we're on plan, right? We had a goal by the end of the year where we said we're going to name the game we're going to create, and then we're going to start creating it season two. I feel like we're on path. So for the last couple of weeks, we have been making pitches and reviewing them. So not just you and I, other members of the team have been making pitches. We've been putting them in a document. We've been meeting to talk about them, and we're ready to talk about them on the show. We've rated them.
Shout out to I'm So Data.
At the end of this podcast, we're not picking one. We can say that right now. We're going to talk to you today about the games that we've been pitching and talking about to give you a sense of the games that we have come up with. And on the last show, Mark talked about Climb On. That was one of the games. We're going to take that and just expand it. We're going to tell you about all of the games that we've been thinking about.
And then we'll take you through what are some of the front runners.
Before we start, this week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. Find their videos at Board Game Casual on YouTube at Board Game Casual Channel. Even better, find them on Instagram. Jamie Stigmeyer follows Board Game Casual. Why wouldn't you? At Board Game Casual. What are we working on?
In pursuit of finding, choosing, and honing in on what the game is that we're going to be designing in season two.
And we should say that one of our stated goals, Mark, has been we want to find a game that everybody can get behind, that everybody can be like, yeah, like I'm excited to create this. I want to be a part of this.
We're going to go through the pitches that we've accumulated to this point today and share a very brief summary of what the games are about. And then we'll play our little hit or
miss. Oh, wait. Miss.
With the games that we've already talked about with the team.
First game is an honorary mention. Mark put this game into the pitch docs. He called it, term you've heard before. People love it. People talk about it in Discord. Trick-taking game for tricksters. Mark, tell us everything that was in that doc. It just said trick-taking game for tricksters and 60 cards.
I mean, there's a little bit more than that. But I think what the prevailing feedback was, and I think Colacoma put it really nicely, you need the whole set of rules in order to evaluate whether or not this is something that we want to work on. That's obviously not where I got to. So we didn't, it's not included in the rating. It's still in my brain in a world where I get to go and spend a little bit more time thinking about and writing the rules for the game. But for the purposes of our discussion here, it's not in consideration.
I like that phrase, will just never leave us. Trick-taking game for trickster.
I think there's something in the pitch.
There wasn't very much in the pitch.
There is something, though.
Something. Hit or miss?
Miss.
Yeah. We didn't even score it. I am sad the next game, Mark, is the lowest scoring game on our list. Just because it's an actual real game and I've played it 50 times. My family has played it. My friends have played it. It's a fun game. And yet, here we are, 20 out of 60 points, Nouns in a Bag.
Tell me about it.
Which part? The part that hurts me or the game?
The game.
Nouns in a Bag is a three-part party game where one round is played like Taboo, where you have to try to get your team to guess a word. And then in the next round, you are playing charades with those words. And then in the final round, you are playing one word where you give one word as a clue to try to guess that word. And in a large group, it's really fun. It's really fun. And I really like those social games, but it isn't what the team was interested in building.
Why would you want to build a game that already exists, especially when your argument for pseudo-original ideas that we come up with is, it's already been done.
It's a game that honestly you can just play with paper and someone's hat or a bag. I was like, how do I get it to other people though? How do I get this game out there so other people could play this game, right? I can't just stand on my porch and yell it. I could put it in the newsletter, but that's not gonna reach everybody. So selling a game, the idea was we come up with, you know, a few key components. And Peter had a really great idea. Peter said, you know, to make the nouns, instead of just coming up with one off the top of your head, you have these cards where your nouns have to be based on these cards. So you pull two cards and you have to create a noun around them. That was a really good idea. So the point is to package this thing so that other people could play it as well. It's a game that already exists that doesn't need any materials, but we could add another layer to it, was my idea, was to expand on it and make it a little bit better, but in a way that's just where we could get it to people.
Hit or miss?
It was a miss. 20 points. The next game, I'm sad that it scored as low as it did, because I've been really into the theme myself because my son is playing Roller Coaster Tycoon. And this game was called Theme Park. Tell us about Theme Park.
Theme Park is a game where you play as a person who has inherited a rundown old theme park.
Yep.
Your family wants to sell it, but you have a dream and a hope that you can make this theme park financially productive again. And so you go through a series of phases that include park building, worker placement, there's some economy management, and then different events and guests. And your goal is to get guests to recur and come back so that they spend money at your theme park and you make money and you save your park.
Loved it. I had a hard time listening to the description and the pitch and not hearing Manhattan Project, because it was kind of being pitched as this economy worker placement game. And instead of building bombs and blowing up people, you're building roller coasters and having fun. Softer Manhattan
A little
Project.
More wholesome.
Yeah. I want to play it.
The theme and the, like, the economy piece is kind of the big miss for me. I'm just not into the economy game we played at Gen Con, the Gods Forged. Is that what it was?
God's Forge?
Yeah.
Was it an economy game?
It was like the little one with the map and the goblins.
I just don't know if it'd be classic. Maybe it is.
Mike described it as like a hidden economy game.
Okay.
That style, that genre doesn't hit for me very well.
There were elements of that game that we really loved though. But isn't that a little, I don't want a name call. Isn't that a little close-minded? But let's say somebody pitched an amazing economy. Everyone else just like legitimately was like, this is a really great game. And you just show up and like, I don't like economy games. I'm just, no guys, I just don't, it's not what I'm looking for.
The whole point of this was to find something that we're like globally or largely excited for. And so to just say that, okay, sure. Like, I think there's an element of, if we chose a game that had an economy component or a more economy-based game that the vast majority was really enthusiastic about, I'll get behind. I'm happy to work on that game. But if left to my own devices or in the earlier discussion phase, like, I'm not going to be like, yeah, let's do an economy game. It's not the first thing that I'm going to lead with.
You're right. I mean, that's been one of our stated goals, and we said it a minute ago. We're trying to see what we can get everyone excited about. Theme park game, hit or miss?
By score, got to give it the miss.
Yeah, 23.
Climb On was the next game. We talked about it at length last week. We're not going to do a huge review of it. It was a game based on like a physical structure that you would ascend. And the cool feature I think that we came up with on the show was having a pegboard as kind of the key feature of the structure that you would climb. Team had cool ideas about it, but ultimately also a miss.
Yep. 26 points. The next game is called Scouting Adventure. And I feel like this one's a little hidden gem. Coming off of last year where with my class, we wrote a book about tabletop role-playing games. Like, if I had infinite amount of time, this would be something I would love to explore. I'd love to make something like this. Can you explain the pitch a little bit?
So the basic concept of the game was you would develop a character, and then you would play through an established scenario where your different skills would be tested by the activities and by the challenges that are presented by the scenario. Some of the examples Scott gave were having like a merit badge system where you're working on your first aid skills or your camping skills or your cooking skills. And it would lean into this kind of wider exploration of an environment through the storytelling part of the game.
I like the D&D lightness to it. You could do a tabletop role-playing game and not have to kill things. Unfortunately, right now, hit or miss?
Miss.
28 points.
I think it shows a little bit of the bias of where the interest in our group lies in terms of the kinds of games that we're going to be talking about that are going to be the higher scoring games. I think the higher scoring games tend to be more complex in their rules, more complex in the structure of the game, have more things going on. I think there's a particular kind of game that, like, if you asked everybody at the meeting to like bring their top three tabletop games to a table and be like, here they are, I would venture a guess that maybe outside of you and me, the games that are selected edge on the more like complex and long to play kinds of games.
Sure. Next up, the game that launched the podcast.
Which you didn't even submit the pitch for.
I didn't. Because when I saw that Colacoma had inserted his own golf game, I realized there were a lot of similarities and I can just put my ideas into his pitch. And when we talked about it with the group, that's what I did. I gave the background. I explained that when I was a kid, that's what I did. I looked for golf balls and sold them back to golfers. So that is the general idea behind the golf game. What's great about this on so many levels is this was the game that I was thinking about creating originally when I went to Mark and I said, hey, let's make a board game. Let's make a podcast. Then the first thing we ever did was we went to GobCon in Berkeley. And the first game we ever played together and talked to somebody about was a golf game. Roll On, I bought it. After that, Colacoma had also pitched the golf game, which was great. And so the golf game is this, the idea is like you have a map of a golf course in front of you and you can move around it and you're looking for golf balls and you're going to pick them up and you're going to collect them and then you're going to clean them up and then you're going to go back to different places on the course and you're going to sell them to golfers and you're going to earn money. And so that's the idea behind the game, to try to take that moment, that feeling as a kid of looking for golf balls and trying to turn it into a game was always my original idea. I was like, I want to take that moment because I love that moment. I look back on that fondly. Mark, how much do you love golf?
3 out of 10.
Was that your score for golf? Yeah,
it was. Probably more accurately, 0 out of 10. But I think Colacoma's ideas are cool. It's like there's an element of like theme for me that, you know, stands out, I think, in the way that I scored some of the games. Like theme park didn't hit for me. Golf game reads really cool, but it's about golf. But I do think on the merits of the mechanics and the design and the way that Colacoma structured the game, if we're playing hit or miss, golf game was our first.
Hit.
Hey.
Yeah.
Because you hit the golf balls.
Oh, I see what you did there. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Golf game scored a 30 out of 60.
Our next game is a game not from someone formally within the workings of the Misplay. But I remember having a conversation with Mike C. at Gen Con when he was so gracious to host us and show us the ropes of being there. I was like, you play so many games. You're so good at the games that we've played. Are you ever going to make your own? And then?
About a week ago, I got a message from Mike and he said he was catching up on the podcast and it had inspired an idea in him and he just started working on a game. And he went fully into it. He has created a full rule set. To this point, he has even play tested it with other people. He has another play test set up where he's made some changes. His game is called Plunder. And he described it as a Captain Sonar meets Civilization. This game scored well with us. And to be honest with you, I still can't give you a good pitch. I still don't fully understand this game. There's a lot going on in this game. He has pitched essentially a full game, and not just, here's this idea that I have. I've always told the audience that I'm a very visual learner, that if I got a chance to play test this game, I'd give you a really good explanation, but I haven't. And so it's really hard for me to describe what is going on. There's engine building. There's like this version of the game that has like a piece of mastermind in it where you're trying to figure out what color cubes your opponent has based on some information. There's combat. There's a non-combat way to win the game. There's card manipulation. There's a lot going on. I think we're in a position as the Misplay where we would love to hear more. Maybe we have Mike come on to Discord and talk to us about the game or tell us about a second playtest and how that went. For everything that we have from him, we scored at a 34. We're like, wow, this is really, and there's a lot of interesting pieces to this and some interesting mechanics.
Plunder, hit or miss?
Hit, 34. Talk to us about our next game, Mark. Depths by Peter.
Depths is a 3 to 5 person game where players take the role of submarine captains and are voyaging back and forth between the deep ocean and the surface where their resources are, and trying to accumulate resources, avoid piracy, and not run out of ways to get back to the surface. The game breaks down into 4 phases. There's a descent phase, an exploration phase, an ascent phase, and a debriefing phase. The game ends when all of the key treasures are collected, a player's submarine gains an 8th point of corruption, or the submarine captains agree during debrief to end the mission. That's a really short summary, I think, for our purposes. Each phase kind of has its own mechanical implications. I thought it sounded like there were a lot of options for really cool decisions to be made. There was a good amount of player interaction in the way that piracy works.
Like Mike's game, Peter is ready to fully playtest this. Like, this is an idea that Peter has had for a while and pitched it. And to me, this had the best mechanics. This is a game where I'm like, I was really interested in like the potential of some things that you could do. I like the idea. I've always liked the idea of games where your character, in this case, it was a submarine, but your character goes out, does something, gets a little bit stronger, comes back, and then has other choices to make. I wasn't in love with the submarine theme. I feel like it could have been reskinned in some ways, and you could be in a jungle. But this game, the mechanics of this game were really interesting to me, because then I can blow up your submarine. Did want to attack you. Choices. Didn't have to.
You just chose to.
Yeah, wanted to.
Depths, hit or miss?
Hit, 37. And that's going to bring us to our 2 highest scoring games. The first game is 2 Wolves. And this was pitched to us by friend of the podcast, was on the podcast for an episode, our friend Ryan. Ryan has said to me in text, if you don't make this game, I'm going to. If we don't, he's going to. The idea behind this game is essentially Prisoner's Dilemma and gamifying that further. The idea that, and I always think about it, and the way I talked about it, you know, I always think of that game Golden Ball, where each person, there's 2 people, they each have a button that says steal or split. And if they both split, they get to share the money in front of them. And if one person steals and the other splits, then the person who steals gets all of the money. And then if they both steal, then nobody gets the money. And so you're in this situation. Mark and I, we can play around here. Mark, $50,000 in front of us. I'm telling you right now, Mark, I'm going to steal it. I'm going to steal it.
Kind of mean.
Yeah.
Not very socialist of you.
I will split it with you though. I will split the $50,000 with you, but I have to be sure that I get the money. I'm pressing steal. If you press steal, nobody gets it. But if you press split, then I will share it with you. Now, I do have to let you know, Mark, as the host of this game, Jason is not legally obligated to share that money with you. He's telling you is, but he has no legal obligation. Mark, I will share that money with you, despite what they said. Contestants, it's now time to push your button.
Well, Jason hit steal, right?
Yeah, what'd you hit?
I hadn't decided yet. All right, you're a person of your word. I'll split.
I hit split as well. We're splitting. I wouldn't do that to you.
So, gave me the sweats.
So the idea was that you would create some sort of board game around that, where you're pulling cards and you are playing these different prisoner dilemma situations with the people in the game. So a lot of replayability, very social, different every time. And, you know, depending on the people that you're playing with, you're going to get a totally different experience. And you can play in different ways, right? You can be very aggressive and, or you can be very, just work together, all about collaboration, trying to earn points in different ways. And Ryan had come up with a bunch of different, you know, potential cards and games that you could play around this, where people have to make group decisions. And then you're either rewarded for working together, or you're rewarded for going against the grain, or penalized if it doesn't work out.
This is one where you commented before we started recording that this is still living a little bit more in the idea phase. And so for me, it's a little bit hard to picture, but I'm wondering, like, what does the game progression look like? Is there a board? Is there, you know, what is it that marks the scoring that players have accumulated beyond? Is there something that's going to tie these different scenarios together? Like, what is it that's going to collectively drive the game towards completion, I think is the piece that's hard for me to see. Because, like, okay, we split the $50,000, but then, okay, now we do Prisoner's Dilemma over equitable housing. Like,
yeah.
So for me, it'd be a question of where are we going to be going in a way that continues to drive the game forward? Are we tracking our points on a board, or are we tracking, you know, are we like collecting resources to do something else with them? I'd want to know, like, where does each round lead us after we play each round?
Yeah, I felt like if we sat down either with Ryan or together and said, let's build that, let's see what that looks like, it might put this game up there with the next game, but it's not currently there. I like the summary that somebody said after reading this. They said, it reminds me of the TV show, The Devil's Plan. Have you seen that?
No.
Mark hasn't seen TV. But it's basically, you know, a group of people all locked in this prisoner's dilemma, trying to earn points, and they vote out people or kick people out to be the last one left. For those of you who have seen Devil's Plan, this is that idea.
Hit or miss, two wolves?
Hit, 39 points out of 60. Second highest scoring game.
I know we said we're not using this episode as the episode that decides the game, but we don't necessarily want to throw away all of the work that we did leading up to today. Does that mean Succession is our front runner right now?
This is currently the front runner. I think that's a fair way of describing it. You said the name, Succession. Tell us about it.
Succession is a game where you and the other players compete to succeed the Mad King. Use any means necessary to secure your position and inherit the throne. In short, Succession is a card game where you're competing to position yourself in a way such that when all of the dust settles, that you are the next in line to be the heir to the throne. The actions that you take throughout the game will either bolster your favor with the king, or there's an option to remove a player from their current position, reset them back to an earlier game state where they have to go to the back of the line, essentially. But everything you're doing is trying to kind of serve this, position yourself in a way such that when the game end condition meets, you're the next in line to be the king.
Of course, for those of us who watch TV, Mark, when we hear Succession, there's a very popular TV show called Succession on HBO Max now. That was the first thing I thought about when I heard it. And, you know, I know we're talking about a king and, you know, you're trying to become the next in line to the kingdom. It could very well just be a business. It could be a CEO. It could be skinned in a different way, that it's not a king. And, you know, you could have people working in the mailroom trying to get their way to the top. Yeah, you mentioned one of the ideas that came from our conversation that I really liked, and it really hit on people, that because this is a game where the, you know, we use this term when we're playing games, the bottle's pointing at somebody. We started this when we played Catan. What we would do was we literally pointed a bottle at the person we all thought was winning the game. So nobody would trade with that person. And if we were going to cut off a road, it would be cutting off that person, right? You can't trade with them. The bottle's pointing at them. They're winning. This is a game where when you're in a position, you know, where you're next in line, everyone's going to be gunning for you. And if you get removed from the game, we didn't want anyone out of the game. One of the cool things that came out of this conversation and from this game was this idea that when you're eliminated from the game, you're not actually eliminated from the game. You go, like you had said, you go back to a, you said earlier state, but you become a whole nother character and you get to start climbing up again. And so you're not like totally out of the game, because this is a game where people are going to be coming after you, right? That it's everybody against one at different points. You know, you're going to have to maybe team up to remove somebody so you can move up the line. So I really like that concept of when you get taken out, you come back as a new character, and maybe you get to pick some new abilities, and maybe there's some things that, you know, you have some bonuses when you start fresh again. I also had a hard time not thinking of Love Letter, because that's kind of your, like, you all have these cards and you're vying for the princess's favor in the same way you would, like, would be competing for a spot and you're earning points along the way. But this game resonated with the team. This was a game that, one of the things that stood out to me about the scores is the lowest score on this game was a 7, just going across the board. There were no low scores on this game where everybody was like, oh, this is really interesting.
I agree. And beyond the numerical feature that we kind of added after the discussion, this is the game where people were like, oh, like, I have this idea, I have this idea. There, it had the most chatter around it, even from the first meeting, which for me is a really strong, compelling qualitative piece, and is backed up by the numerical scores that people assigned.
Yeah. There was a little bit of a change in the tone. Everyone kind of perked up when we started talking about this game.
Succession, hit or miss?
Absolutely hit. It scored 43 points out of 60.
Now that we've gone through the I'm So Pitches folder, we have our front runner in Succession. We have some other games that were really interesting, Depths and Two Wolves and Plunder and Golf Game. What's next?
Why are you putting that on me? Why are you asking me? I know. I wanted to say it.
Because I don't know what's next.
But that's, you know, so Mark and I, we have our show doc and we have notes all along the way. We even had notes for what the cold open might be and what the misplay was. Where it says what's next, there's nothing. It's blank. Neither one of us. Let's work this out together. On next show, we're not going to sit down and say we're building Succession and we're going to start building. That's not where we're at. So we can say it's not that. It's cross F things.
Selection by process of elimination.
Right.
I feel like the logical next step is, well, okay, we're honing in on what the game will be. Once we choose, what are we going to do in terms of starting to build? Because we have like our playtest process. We have a way to talk about and document the work that we're doing on the games now. But maybe starting to kind of form our, is this too businessy for you? A strategic plan for once we pick the game. How are we going to get into a cycle of developing the game?
Yeah, no, love the business terms. One of the first real short-term goal is end of the year, we've decided on a game. So season 2 kicks off and we're just building that game. That's what we're working on. So how do we get to that point? How do we get to the point that at the end of December, we say, this is the game? I think we have to go back to the team and talk about right now, based on all of our conversations, we're leaning this way. What is it about? What are the elements of the game that we really like that we want to be proud of and build? What is the piece? What is the most important piece of this game? Is it theme, which I don't think it is? Is it some piece of the mechanic? Is it some element of the game? Because I don't think the idea itself is that unique. I think there's a lot of games that are kind of based around that. But I think if we're going to go ahead with Succession, I think we have to think about what is its unique selling point going to be? And can we do that? Can we build that? So it's a little different than what you were saying.
I think I like that. I also think you could even go a little bit broader. We've talked about this before in the way, do we develop from theme first? Do we develop from mechanic first? What if next week is starting to talk about how we think about developing a theme for a game? And then we're not under some time constraint or arbitrary line of we need to be designing mechanics and thinking about how the game plays and rules and all of these intricate and complex details, but can talk about more of kind of the mission, what do we want the game to feel like, and explore like how would we map a theme onto a different concept or map different themes onto the same mechanics.
Go on.
Well, you talked about it in, think about the way that we talked about MMA Gauntlet. You're like, I don't care if it's I don't care if it's mixed martial arts. I don't care if it's like sea creatures fighting each other or spaceships.
Yeah.
When you're looking for those aspects that'll make your game unique and stand out, I do think a theme plays a really important role in that, in addition to some of the mechanical specifics that are unique to the game that you're building. But maybe we take our time next time and hone in on like, well, what do we want out of our theme? What types of themes do we find compelling? What types of themes are overly generic? How would we make, if we wanted to stay with the Mad King, how do we make the King's Court unique to us and really have it be a more of a creative exploration of what theme we would be looking at?
Okay. That's what's next.
Next week, creating a theme.
Or not.
Or not.
Who knows?
We don't. The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Adjos, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord.
Should release an episode on their YouTube channel. That's what we should do.
How to make the bridge from podcast to YouTube.
Yes. Well, it's video. The answer. Cameras.
Sounds like a lot of work.
Well, we can just do top down and just show our hands coming out every once in a while as we're talking.
Sounds like something you'd enjoy setting up.
That'd be the funny video to submit. It's just this. Talking with our hands out.
Jason, we're a podcast. The audience can't see it yet.
Oh, that's right. But they will at Board Game Casual channel on YouTube.